The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter number 9, text number 20, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on April 18th, 2010, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter number 9, text number 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nava etad Vishnu Dutta Mahad Adbhutam Yad Asambrahma Svashirash Chedana Apitate Pi Vimukta Dehad Yatma Bhava Sudrida Hridaya Grantinam Sarasatva Suhrid Atmanam Nirvairanam Sakshad Bhagavatan Nimishari Varajunena Pramatena Taistair Bhavai Parik Yashamananam Tadpadamulam Makutaschid Bhayam Upastrishtanam Bhagavata Paramahas Hamsanam. Translation and Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Shukadev Goswami then said to Maharaj Parikshit, O Vishnu Dutta, Those who already know that the soul is separate from the body, who are liberated from the invincible knot in the heart, who are always engaged in welfare activities for all living entities, and who never contemplate harming anyone, are always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who carries his disc, the Sudarshan Chakra, and acts as supreme time to kill the demons and protect his devotees. The devotees always take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, therefore at all times, even if threatened by decapitation, they remain unagitated. For them, this is not at all wonderful. Purport. These are some of the great qualities of a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. First, a devotee is firmly convinced of his spiritual identity. He never identifies with the body. He is firmly convinced that the spirit soul is different from the body. Consequently, he fears nothing. Even though his life may be threatened, he is not at all afraid. He does not even treat an enemy like an enemy. Such are the qualifications of devotees. Devotees are always fully dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Lord is always eager to give them all protection in all circumstances. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Supreme Character of Jad Bharat.
Sri Guru, Sri Jata, Madha Kamala, Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raguna Tandita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakandritamscha.
So, just consider how transcendentally situated is Jadbharat. The dacoits were preparing to decapitate him, cut off his head. He wasn't even agitated. So not only Jadbharat is that peaceful in his mind, all the pure devotees are like this. It's not that he was simply paying the pastime of a dumb man, animal, and therefore he was unconscious of the danger. He was fully conscious. And it didn't matter to him. He was completely transcendental. Just like there's that prayer by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Marabi rakabi yo icha tohar nitya dasa pratituya adhikar. My Lord, I am now surrendered unto you. I am your eternal servant. And if you like, you can kill me. Or if you like, you can protect me. In any case, I am fully surrendered unto you. One could argue, well, this prayer is about Krishna killing the devotee. I mean, if Krishna were personally killing you, that'd be okay. See? One could argue. But here it's the dacoits, bunch of demons. Being killed at the hands of some demons, you see. But this prayer of Bhaktivinoda Thakur is equally applicable whether one is being directly killed by Krishna or even being killed by a demon. Lord Jesus Christ was not being killed by Krishna. He's being killed by some rascal Roman soldiers. But he was completely peaceful. My dear Lord, please forgive them if they did not know what they were doing. They were trying to kill Haridas Thakur also. Is he being killed by Krishna? No, by some rascal Muslim strongmen. They're beating him with whips. So even if one is at the hands of the demons, the pure devotee sees, oh, Krishna is arranging this. Just like Prabhupada was one time, there was a threat of death coming from the Japanese. Do you know that story? During World War II in Calcutta, Prabhupada was sitting there honoring Prasad, and the Japanese came to bomb Calcutta. And the bombs were falling. And everyone was running to the bomb shelter in great fear for their lives. Except for one person, Srila Prabhupada. He said the bombs are falling like this. Chee kum. But Prabhupada thought, oh, this is Krishna. He saw the bombs as Krishna, you see. Doesn't Krishna say that in chapter 10 of the Bhagavad Gita? Text number, what text was that? 32? Mrityu sarva harashchaham. I am all devouring death. So when death comes, a devotee is not afraid. He welcomes it. Death. This is Krishna. Hare Krishna. You see, death has come. Hare Krishna. Death is not fearful for a devotee. Just like, did you find it? Is it 10:32? Yeah. Just like when Dhruva Maharaj was dying. Death came running at him. Death personified came running at him. Death personified, the personality of death, came running at him. Was he afraid? No. Actually, there was a Vaikuntha airplane waiting for him right there. And death came running to do what? To put his head down so Dhruva could step on the head of death and enter the airplane. So devotee doesn't, he's not intimidated by death. He sees death as a very wonderful opportunity. It's like if you're in one room and you want to go to the next room. And there's no door, how will you go? Wouldn't it be frustrating if there wasn't a door to the next room? Just like sometimes in the dark when we're traveling and preaching. In the middle of the night, we wake up in the dark and we have to use the toilet. So we're groping in our dark trying to find the door. If there's no door, then you're in difficulty. You can't find the door, then you're in difficulty. And when you find the door, oh, I found the door, very good. So the door is a very welcome thing. So what is the doorway? Death. Death is the doorway to Goloka Vrindavan. So the devotee doesn't like death? No, death is very good. It's the doorway to Goloka Vrindavan. So then you may ask, well, why don't we all just commit suicide right now then? Because that is against the law of God, that's why. Otherwise, we could commit suicide right now if we could enter Goloka Vrindavan. But Krishna gave us this body for a purpose in this world. We have a duty to take good care of this body. He has a mission for us in this world. Do you know there was one famous devotee who wanted to commit suicide? Do you know that story about that devotee who wanted to commit suicide? You know, Sanatan Goswami. He had gotten some skin disease. And he had, his body was full of sores. I mean, it was horrible. They were oozing, he had pus oozing all over his whole body. It was just horrible. But Lord Chaitanya loved Sanatan Goswami. He loved him very much. Whenever he would see Sanatan, he would give him a big hug. And Sanatan Swami felt so bad that, what is this? I'm all this contaminated pus getting on the Lord's body. He was just horrified every time the Lord embraced him because he was contaminating the Lord's body with his pus. Sanatan Goswami felt so bad. What can I do to solve this problem? And he thought, oh, I know, I'll commit suicide. And that way the Lord won't have to hug this get all this pus all over his body anymore. So Lord Chaitanya found out about his plan to commit suicide. And he chastised him. He said, what is this nonsense? You think that body belongs to you? That your body is my body. And I have so many things I want to accomplish in this world using your body. So is that true only for Sanatana Goswami? No. That's true for every devotee. When you're doing your service, Krishna is using you to accomplish His mission in this world. So don't think you can prematurely end your body. You keep your body going as long as it will function. And let Krishna decide. One devotee told me that she had learned some special yogic technique for leaving her body at will. And her body right now is very, very diseased. She's had some heavy-duty surgery. I mean, her body, she's really, really diseased condition. She had a stroke. She has to get around in a wheelchair. Her body's really, really in bad shape. So she wrote me, she said, Srila Gurudev, should I use this special yogic technique and leave my body now? I told her no. You should stay. Yeah, I said, you're doing a very wonderful preaching right now. You should see how she comes to Bhagavatam class in her wheelchair. Traveling 3 miles in her wheelchair. She has one of these battery-powered wheelchairs. And she'll travel 3 miles in her wheelchair in the cold winter to come to Bhagavatam class. So to see this devotee is a great inspiration for all of us, actually. So just by her example of being so dedicated to hearing the Bhagavatam class, she's doing a great service for all the Vaishnavas. So therefore I advise you do not invoke this special technique for leaving your body at will. Of course, I don't know if it really works or not. But I don't want her to try. I want her to stay here, you see. Because we should stay until Krishna takes us. That's when we should leave, not until then. Because, and so anyway, this is a very wonderful example of Jad Bharat. How a devotee is absolutely fearless in all situations. This is the name of Prabhupada. AC stands for Abhay Charanaravinda. One who is fearless by taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So this is the symptom of a pure devotee. He's absolutely fearless in any situation. Even if he's captured by terrorists and they're preparing to cut off his head like they sometimes do, he's undisturbed. Another example of this is our Socrates, the famous philosopher. He was a Greek philosopher. And he was challenging the illusions of the Athenian society. So the leaders of the society felt that by his challenges of their philosophical delusions, that he was corrupting the youth. Just like we are doing that, you see. We are challenging the philosophical delusions of the leaders of the society. They are basing their society on the false bodily concept.
savo visuomenę pagrindu laiko neteisingą kūnišką sampratą.
They're basing their whole economic system on the desire for sense gratification.
Visą savo ekonomikos sistemą jausminiu pasitenkinimu.
That's why there's so much difficulty economically in the world. Because the whole basis of the economic system is based on a false concept. That I am this body, and my happiness is to gratify my senses. They use sense gratification as a carrot to get the people to work. Instead of inspiring people to serve Krishna, they inspire you to serve your senses. So the whole foundation of the modern society is corrupt. So we are also challenging the whole philosophical basis of this modern day society. By Krishna's grace, they're not coming to cut off our heads or make us drink poison. By the mercy of Krishna, we're being allowed to spread this movement. In the case of Socrates, just his philosophical challenges were so disturbing to the leaders of the Athenian society. They were so disturbed that they forced him to drink poison. Hemlock. It's called hemlock. So then they said, "Well, Socrates, you're going to drink this poison now. You'll be dying here in a few minutes. So how would you like us to bury you?" They had some respect for him. He was a very learned philosopher. So out of respect, they said, "How would you like us to bury you?" Bury means, you know, when you bury a dead person, put him in the ground.
Yeah.
And Socrates, he said, "Well, you're going to have to catch me first." In other words, you may get this body, but you're not going to get me. So in this way, Socrates was fearless at the time of death. But his wife and kids were completely going berserk. They were going crazy. So he told him, send him to the other room. He had his wife and children sent out to another room when he drank the poison, because they were just completely on the bodily platform. So in this way, you see, if we become learned philosophers, if we become realized in Krishna consciousness, then we can face even the most devastating situation as a golden opportunity. There's another nice example. Prabhupada was flying on the airplane, and it hit some pocket where there's not sufficient air to give lift to the airplane. So the airplane went, it fell very fast. It fell many, many thousands of feet. It just fell all of a sudden. And it was really heavy. You would feel like your stomach was in your head. It was very heavy. So my godbrother, Pusta Krishna Maharaj, he was sitting a few rows back. And of course, everybody in the plane was completely frightened. They thought they were going to die. But after the plane stabilized and was able to become safe again, then Pusta Krishna Maharaj, he went up to see how Prabhupada was doing. Pusta Krishna was very shaken by the whole experience. Then he went up, he said, "Srila Prabhupada, are you all right?" And Prabhupada said, "We can die at any time." Prabhupada was completely undisturbed. I'm prepared to die at any time. It's no big deal. I'm simply absorbed in Krishna consciousness. When death comes, all right, no big deal. If a devotee is properly absorbed in Krishna consciousness, death will just be another routine activity. Just like every day you have your routine, you know. You get up at like 4 o'clock or 3:30. You take your shower, put on your devotional clothes and your tilak. You go to your altar here at home, or you go to your altar at home, or you come to the temple here and you offer Mangalarti and sing Gravastakam prayers. And then you have so many activities throughout the day. You're doing this, you're doing that. It's a daily routine. So for devotee, well, I got up in the morning, I took my bath, I put on my devotional clothes, put on my tilak, I offered Mangalarti, I left my body, and then I went down to the River Jamuna and had a nice conversation with Krishna. And then I came back and took prasadam with Mother Jasoda and Nanda Maharaj. It was a normal day. You see what I'm saying? It was just a normal day. Well, in the morning I was in Kanas, and in the evening I was on the bank with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jasoda and having a nice conversation about Krishna. Normal day. So in this way, you see, for a devotee, death is not a big deal. It really isn't. Just a routine thing. It was just something I did last week, you know. In fact, I've even read in the scripture how an advanced devotee doesn't even realize when he left his body. If you can imagine that one. He's so absorbed. You can consider this like in the example of Vibhamangala Thakur. Even while he was alive, he was absorbed in the pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world. He was sitting there in his body in Vrindavan, okay? But his spirit soul was in Goloka Vrindavan, engaged in Krishna's pastime. So for such a devotee, he might not even know when he left his physical body. It's like, well, I've been here absorbed in Krishna's pastimes, and oh, wow, I didn't realize that. I left my body a couple of weeks ago. You see? So, the whole point is just to become deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And your whole life will be centered on Krishna's name. Krishna's glories. Krishna's service. Krishna's devotees. And your body, although important, because you can use it in Krishna's service, will not be that important anymore. Just like I was I was doing a retreat at Govinda Valley in Australia. And you know all these kurtas that men wear, they have these pockets down here. And they happen to be about the same height as the doorknobs. You know the doorknob on the door? So anyway, I was walking down the hall and this caught on something by the door and it went zip. My kurta was completely ruined within 1 second, totally trashed. So I had another one in my suitcase. No big deal. Just throw it away, put another one on. So for a devotee, you see, this body is just like a kurta. It's like in India, we go to one shop, Ganga Prasad, cloth merchants. And I have them make custom kurtas for my size, you see. So I can get another kurta easily, exactly what right size, right color, everything. And they're very happy when I come back for another kirtan.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the big deal? I lose a kirtan, no problem. So if this body gets ruined and I discard it, what's the big deal? I just get another one. Get a better one. Doesn't have bad ears.
See?
So what's the big deal? What's the problem? See? So in this way, a devotee, he doesn't find death to be a threat. In fact, he takes death as a wonderful opportunity for rejuvenation. Either I get rejuvenation, means I get a better material body, because I use this body in Krishna's service, Krishna give me a better one in my next lifetime. See? Even if I take birth again, I'll have a better material body and a better material situation for serving Krishna. Or I'll get my spiritual body in Goloka Vrindavan. Or you may go to the heavenly planets even. And serve Krishna there. So there's nothing fearful about death for a Vaishnava. So what does it mean if we're afraid of death? It means we haven't become devotees yet. See, to be a devotee is a very advanced thing. Can we really say, I am a devotee? Devotee means one who is 100% devoted to Krishna. Can I really say, I am a devotee? Think about it. You know what Prabhupada said? When he came to America in his arrival prayer, he said, even though I've been designated Bhakti Vedanta, I have no Bhakti and I have no Vedanta. I have no knowledge and I have no devotion. So Prabhupada said, I'm not a devotee. So what is our position? Lord Chaitanya also said that he was not a devotee. He said, if I was truly a devotee, I would leave my body immediately in the separation of Krishna. But the fact that I'm maintaining body and soul together in the absence of a Lord proves I have no devotion. So, what is our position then? Are we devotees or not? We're trying to be devotees. That is our position. We're begging for the mercy of Guru, Krishna, Vaishnavas. Please bless me that I can truly become a devotee of Krishna. So if you wonder why you're still afraid of death, then you can understand you're not a devotee yet, not fully a devotee yet. And you have to beg for being a devotee every day. So do you know how to beg for becoming a devotee every day? Do you know the technique to beg for becoming a devotee? I'll give you a hint. It's right there in your bead bag. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. We're begging Krishna, please make me your devotee. I am tired of being a slave of Maya. I am tired of being a slave of my senses. Please save me from this hellish nightmare of material existence. Please, Krishna, save me. You see, this is the mood of chanting Hare Krishna. If we call like a child crying out for the mother, have you heard the voice of a child crying out for the mother? How desperate that child is. Screaming in agony. You see, for the mother. The mother becomes, when she hears her child screaming in that agonized way, then the mother cannot do anything except run to that child. You see. Therefore, in this mood, we should chant Hare Krishna, begging Krishna to save us. There had been a horrible nightmare. What is that nightmare? I am this body. That's the nightmare. We're having a nightmare right now. You're dreaming that you're a man. You're dreaming that you're a woman. It's a horrible nightmare to be identified with this male or female body. Why is that? Because you're eternal. The eternal spirit soul identified with a lump of mucus, bile, stew, urine, bones, and blood. That's a hellish nightmare. So we have to come out of this nightmare, calling out Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Yes.
How to develop this mood that we could cry for Krishna?
Cry for it. In other words, if you don't have the mood of crying for Krishna, then you cry to be able to cry for Krishna. And if you cannot cry to be able to cry for Krishna, then you should cry to cry to cry for Krishna. And if you cannot cry to be able to cry to be able to cry for Krishna, then you should cry to cry to cry to be able to cry for Krishna. And if you can't cry to cry to cry to be able to cry for Krishna, then you should cry to cry to cry to cry to be able to cry for Krishna. In this way, everybody can take shelter of Krishna. What is it? Huh?
So should we? What is the difference when we cry just a little bit and we cry desperately from all the heart?
The cry desperately from all the heart is one thing, and what's the other crying?
Like a child asking for candy.
Not a child.
For candy. There's crying for sense gratification, they're crying for bhakti. Yeah, there's two different crying. Yeah. Crying for sense gratification is like the Christians, they say, "Dear our Father who art in heaven, please give us our daily bread." If you beg for material sense gratification, and they plead very intensely for sense gratification, that's a fact, then you may get your sense gratification, but you won't get Krishna. If you take that same tendency to beg God and beg for bhakti, then you will get Krishna personally. And what's the difference? If you go to a multi-billionaire, you can ask him for $5 or you can ask him for $1 million. That's the difference. Begging for sense gratification is like asking a multi-billionaire for $5. But asking for bhakti is like asking for a few $1 million. Actually, begging for bhakti is asking the billionaire to give you everything he's got. Because Krishna becomes the property of his devotee. Therefore, he does not give pure bhakti very easily. Manushanam sahasreshu kashchid yajati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashchin mang viti tatvataha. Out of thousands among men, 7.2. Out of thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And out of a thousand who endeavor for perfection, hardly even one knows me in truth. So that's the difference. You get $5 or you get Krishna. That's the difference. Next question. Nandarani, Devi Dasi.
If I am attached to my body, does it mean that I want to gratify my senses?
Yes. So don't be attached to your body. It's not worth it. Take good care of your body for Krishna. That's all right. That is not bodily attachment. To keep your body strong and healthy, that is your duty. But always remember, it is simply a vehicle that Krishna has given you to use in his service. That's all. That is not bodily attachment. To want to have proper rest, proper prasadam, proper clothing, proper living, these are all proper things. But don't take more than is needed for good health. Then it becomes sense gratification. Yuktahara viharasha, yuktateshascha karmasu, yukta svapna vabodasha, yoga bhavati dukkaha. 6.17 Bhagavad Gita. One who is temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, working, and recreation can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. So in this way, be temperate, be moderate. Don't take too little, don't take too much. And then you're acting properly in Krishna consciousness. We want you to take good care of your body. Don't punish your body. But don't pamper it either. No punishment and no pampering. Give it what it needs. To be nicely engaged in Krishna's service 24 hours a day. Next question.
When Bilva Mangala Prabhu do this for his eyes,
yeah.
Does he was in a sadhana bhakti platform, or he already have a taste for Krishna?
When he put his eyes out, what stage was he at that point?
Does he was a beginner devotee when he was doing this activity?
Was he a what?
Beginner devotee.
At that time, Bilvamangala, in his previous lifetime, he had achieved a very exalted position. He had attained the bhava stage of bhakti. So he was a very exalted devotee, even from his previous birth. But there was some slight tinge of material desire, which manifested in his attraction for the prostitute Chintamani. And then he realized that this was nonsense, and he gave everything up to go to Vrindavan to be a pure devotee. But along the way, he was again attracted by a woman, a Shudra woman. So he was an almost pure devotee who was battling it out with his material desires. But after putting out his eyes and going to Vrindavan, he became a completely pure devotee. There was no more attraction after that. Next question.
Yeah. What to do if unconscious I still feel that I am at center of universe?
Yes, and then you should beat your mind with shoes 100 times every morning. And with broomstick 100 times at night. And ask your mother to always chastise you. To make you more humble. Yes, question.
Jeigu siela norėjo būti dievu, daugiau ar mažiau, savanaudiškai, kodėl ji to negalėjo padaryti dvasiniame pasaulyje, tenkinti save daugiau, mažiau, kodėl mes patekome į materialų pasaulį.
If soul wants to be a god, so why she can't be a god in spiritual world, why she should come to material world?
You cannot be god in the spiritual world.
Dvasiniame pasaulyje dievu negali būti.
One cannot be God in the spiritual world. God means the Supreme Being, the origin of all existence, Krishna. In the spiritual world, one is not God, one is a servant of God. The desire to become God brings one to the material world. One becomes godly. He develops the qualities of God fully in the spiritual world. Krishna is eternal. The devotees are all eternal. Krishna is full of knowledge. The devotees are full of knowledge. Krishna is full of bliss. The devotees are full of bliss. So, the devotees in the spiritual world, they enjoy equally with God. So practically there's no difference between their enjoyment and God's enjoyment. But still they are subordinate to Krishna and he is the Supreme Person. Now the Mayavadi conception of spiritual emancipation is that you merge and become God. That everything is ultimately one, and that spiritual liberation means you give up your sense, the sense of duality, and merge back into becoming God again. This is a very popular philosophy. According to this philosophy, everyone is actually God. We simply forgotten that we're God, that's all. But this philosophy is actually philosophically absurd. If I am God, then how could I ever forget that I'm God? That would mean that forgetfulness is more powerful than God. And if forgetfulness is more powerful than God, that means forgetfulness is God. So I can never be overcome by forget. If I'm God, I can never be overcome by forgetfulness. I can never misidentify myself with a bag of blood, bones, stool, pus, urine, and vomit. The fact that I have misidentified myself with this lump proves that I'm not God. So it's not that when I go back to the spiritual world, I am God. Or that the living beings in the spiritual world are all God. No. Krishna is the one supreme personality of Godhead. It is stated in the scriptures, one without a second. There's no second personality of Godhead. Krishna is the only one. And we are all His servants. Eternally. That position of being a servant of God is not a bad thing. It's the most wonderful, glorious thing. To be servant of God. The servant of God, in one sense, is more powerful than God. Because by His love, God becomes the controlled by His own servant. So why try to become God when you can be greater than God? Being a devotee is actually being greater, is greater position than God Himself. That's why God Himself, to taste the pleasure, the greatest pleasure of being a devotee, has appeared as a devotee, as Lord Chaitanya. This deity here on the right hand side, from as we're seeing the deity on the right hand side, that is Lord Chaitanya. He is Krishna Himself, realizing that His devotee enjoys more pleasure than He does. Krishna decides to taste that He can also personally take that pleasure of being His own devotee. So He appears as Lord Chaitanya. And His brother Balaram, who is His expanded form, appears along with Him as Lord Nityananda. So these two brothers are the proof that being a servant of God is actually being greater, is greater than being God. So it's not that we feel like we've been cheated, that we can't be God. Krishna has given us a better position than being God. We get to be the devotees of God. Does that answer your question?
If I am in Tama or Raja Guna, how I could see someone else is more advanced devotee?
Yes. Your question is very nice. If I'm in a state of illusion, how could I even recognize that someone is more advanced than me? I wouldn't know. Somebody who's in the lower modes of nature, they will think that they are more advanced. And that others are less advanced. That's the quality of somebody who's in the tamas and rajas. And they think that they are more advanced than everyone else. But I can point out to you, Mataji, that because you have asked me this question, if I am in Rajagun, Tamagun, how I can recognize someone who is more advanced? That you even ask this question proves that you're in Sattvagun. Otherwise, you would not consider that anyone is more advanced than you. The fact you're asking this question proves you're in Sattvaguna. Tamagun, Rajagun, he will not ask this question. If you have asked this question, proves that you're in Sattvaguna. So, because you're in Sattvaguna, you'll be able to recognize. Does that answer your question? Okay, next question.
Jeigu mes atsiduodam ir aukojam dieną ir siūlom Krišnai, kad jisai vadovautų, bet galų gale ten Krišna duoda ne tai, ko norim iš tikrųjų, bet gale dienos pasvarstom, kad aš ten galėjau pasielgti taip ir taip, geriau ir taip, bet tos klaidos, nes Krišna tai iš tikrųjų pats greičiausias ir užminti net greitesnis. Būtent kaip tada apsvarstyti. Jeigu mes Krišnai atsiduodam...
Tu buvai tokį trumpą koncentruotą sakymą.
Nežinau, kaip sukoncentruotum.
Nu, tu kuo kiek įmanoma.
Samiau čia, jeigu nesuprastu klausimą. Jis sakinės po vieną
sakymą.
Jeigu mes Krišnai atsiduodam ir... Tiesiog duodam jam vadovauti, bet galų gale duoda jisai ne tai visą norim, ne taip, kaip norim.
If we surrender to Krishna, but Krishna not gives what our senses want.
If you surrender to Krishna, he'll give you whatever you want, that's the thing.
Jeigu atsiduosit Krishna, jis duos viską, ko jis nori.
Buvo kare, apsvarstum, kad galėjau pasielgti geriau taip ir taip, bet taip iš tikrųjų Krišna greitesnis užminti, nes jisai duoda tą.
But in the evening, I think that I did some mistakes and I could do something in a different way.
Ir kaip mes būtent priėm tokią vadovybę turėtų?
Kaip padaryti?
Nu, tokią vadovybę, kad jisai iš vidaus pamokymus duoda, kuriuos netgi mes patys bandom daryti, rytų mes tai veikia. Priimt, kad jūs vadovaujat, ir prasme, ir jo, kad vadovaujat,
aš pasigalvoju, ką turi veikti.
Kaip pasiekti lygį, kad... kad Krišna vadovauja.
Ne, tai Krišna kažkas vadovauja, bet tu prasme, kad jisai, nu, tos klaidos, kurias tu darai, nu...
Krišna vadovauja, bet mes
tu,
patys...
Tu, tai darai, bet galvoji, bet iš tikrųjų Krišna jisai greičiau duoda tu mintį ir visą tai kaip padaryti.
Pas kažką norėjai, kad gavosi kitaip, ir kas kažkant, kad Krišna
čia yra. Jeigu mes atsiduodam, tai turi greit viską.
So what's the conclusion? What's the question he's asking me?
I don't understand.
Do you understand this question, Harikatapa?
A little bit.
Give me what little bit you understand.
If early in the morning we try to serve for Krishna.
If what?
Try to serve for Krishna.
If we try to serve Krishna.
And we, by trying, and atlikus. After finishing service in the evening, we see that we could our service do better.
Yes.
And his question is how to be such consciousness in the morning that not in the evening this satisfies that I make
I understand. Seeing after it is finished, that is called hindsight, to see it afterwards. There's two things, hindsight and foresight. Hindsight means you see it after it's finished. You see it, oh, you realize I shouldn't have done like that. Foresight means you see ahead of time how I will do, so I do it properly. So hindsight is very good. It is sometimes said hindsight is better than no sight. There's three conditions, you see. There's no sight at all. You never realize anything. That's no sight. Three conditions. No sight. You never see anything. Hindsight, you see it after you made the mistake. You realize it was a mistake. Foresight, you see it in the ahead of time, so you never make the mistake. Foresight, mean like before? It's called... Foresight means sight before. Foresight. So there's three things. There's no sight, hindsight, and foresight. No sight, that's very bad. Hindsight, well, that's okay. At least you realize you made a mistake. But foresight, that's the best thing. That means you see ahead of time. And you don't make the mistake. So, if you're at the level of hindsight, then that's very good. You've made some progress from no sight. Now, what you should do is study very carefully each day through hindsight, seeing after the fact. Every day you should review in your mind, if I could relive today, how would I do it better? Would I have had that many chapatis? Would I have had that many sweet balls? You see, in other words, you should analyze the day to see if you could improve on that day, if you were to be able to relive it. In this way, at the end of every day, you will analyze your day's activities. To think what you did good, what you did bad, how you can improve. If you meditate that way every night, then gradually you will move from hindsight to foresight. History is the best teacher. So if you study your own history, to see what you've done right, what you've done wrong, and how you can improve it. And you're always meditating in that way. Then gradually you will give up those mistakes and you'll become a pure devotee. So keep analyzing your mistakes at the end of the day. It's very good. You can even keep a notebook of everything you did wrong that day. And how you could improve it. You can go back and study your notes. And then in this way you can improve your sadhana. And become absolutely solidly fixed. Dridha vrata. So we'll stop here. You have a question? Now Mataji is giving us even a better technique. That if you can be constantly analyzing it as you're doing it, then that's what I was talking about, foresight. It's similar to what I was concept of foresight. In other words, you should be introspective at every minute. Their point is a very good point. That's very good. So the best thing is you constantly monitor yourself. Is my mind properly engaged in Krishna consciousness right now? How about my tongue? Is it properly engaged? Am I taking only prasadam? Am I not overeating? Am I talking only about Krishna and things necessary for my service? Or am I overindulging my tongue in grummy gata and too much prasadam? So Mataji's point is a very good point. Constantly monitor yourself. Very good point.
Tas tobulumas, nes sako, iš tų, kurie siekia tobulumą, tik vienas mane pažįsta. Tai,
kas tas tobulumas yra?
Jo, tada kas tas tobulumas, jeigu mes nepažįstame.
You said that from iš tūkstančių siekiančių tobulumą, from thousands who try to achieve perfection, only few achieve it.
Yeah.
So what is this perfection?
Perfection? Yes. In this verse of the Bhagavad Gita, only 1,000 achieve, 1 in 1,000 achieve perfection, out of 1,000 achieve perfection, hardly even one knows me in truth. That perfection is Brahman realization. See, out of 1,000 people, only one can become, achieve Brahman realization. And out of 1,000 to become Brahman realization, realized, only one can become Bhagavan realized. You know the difference between Brahman realization and Bhagavan realization? Brahman realization means you realize you're in spirit, I'm not the body. I am aham brahmasmi, I am spirit. I'm not this body. The Maya bodies come to this level, you see. So there's some peace in realizing you're not the body. But there's no complete realization until you know how to live on the spiritual platform. And that comes when you engage your senses. Rishikesha, Rishikena, Sevanam. When you engage those senses in the service of Krishna. Then your spiritual realization becomes perfect. In other words, you can theoretically know I'm not my body. That's very good. But you're only halfway. When you engage that body fully in the service of Krishna, now you're perfect. So we'll continue. If you have any more questions, please jot them down. I have a. We'll be having a lecture today in a hall. Where is that hall?
Jeigu turi dar klausimus, rašykite šitos klausimus. Šiandien vakare bus paskaita gyvenimo meno salėje.
Starting at what time?
3 valandą.
The program begins at what time?
15 o'clock.
At
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. Yeah. Yeah, the military. Okay, yeah. We don't use 1500 in the U.S. We say 3 p.m. over there. I have to always do when you say 1500, I have to do a little calculation. Well, there's 12 plus 3 is 15, so it's 3. I have to do a run a calculation in my head. And we don't think that way in the U.S. unless you're in the military. The ordinary citizen, we, you know, there's 12 noon and there's 1 p.m., 2 p.m., 3 p.m. like that. We always use a.m. p.m. In the evening hours, especially when you get like 1700, 1800, 1900, I really got to think carefully. So anyway, everyone come. Bring your questions. Bring your friends. Bring your neighbors. Bring your family members. Bring your leaders. Let's make a revolution in Lithuania. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.